KUOW's The Record. I'm Bill Radke. Be careful what you put in an email, or you might get caught telling someone, "I love it," especially later in the summer, which was Donald Trump Jr.'s reply to an email about the Russian government wanting to help his dad become president. Well, how should you use email? And what should you use instead of email? That's what we're going to discuss right now. My first guest, New York Times tech columnist Farhad Manjoo, who thinks email's days are numbered. Welcome, Farhad.
Hey, good to be here.
You hate email. Why is that?
I mean, do we have enough time for me to list the ways? It's awful. I think everyone knows, what's terrible about email. It's sort of this like daily horror awaiting you every morning.
Just because it fills your inbox or something else?
Yeah, it's this sort of tidal wave of messages from people you don't know usually wanting a response. It's open to the whole world. So sort of anyone can get at you at that address. The tools to use it have gotten better. I mean, Gmail is like way better than, the earlier tools that we had. You can now search. But the problem with email is that it's sort of overstuffed. We use it for communication. We use it for transactions. We use it for receipts. We use it for like calendaring and to-do lists. And so it's this one tool that becomes this kind of generic place for everything, which leads to both, the inconvenience of it, the like complexity and the feeling of dread we have when dealing with it, but also makes it this huge security threat. The kind of many of the major security, cybersecurity incidents you can think of in the past few years were initially caused by people clicking the wrong link in an email. That's kind of one of the major ways that, computers get hacked.
Well, maybe Donald Trump Jr.'s affair with email will strike one blow against the form. What was your reaction to the Trump Jr.? I love it, especially later in the summer. Here's all my emails story.
Yeah, I mean, so the Trump Jr., the irony, of course, is that we're talking about emails with regard to the Trump campaign when we spent much of 2016 talking about emails with regard to the Clinton campaign. Mm-hmm. And both those incidents to me suggest that I think more sophisticated political campaigns, businesses certainly, and basically anyone else that has to manage sensitive information is almost certainly, looking into or probably already moving to think to just communication channels that are better in various ways. But, the primary way is being more secure. There are lots of different systems that allow end-to-end encryption, which means that people can't look at your communication along the way. That allow messages to sort of expire, so they like auto-delete, kind of like Snapchat does, and various other kind of built-in security features that make them not unhackable, but sort of more protected than email is.
Okay, hang on a second, Farhad. Also with us is writer Amy Webb, who thinks about the future of email at the Future Today Institute. She also wrote a book called The Signals Are Talking, Why Today's Fringe is Tomorrow's Mainstream. Amy, welcome to KUOW.
Hey there.
So Farhad was talking about better communication channels, but you've called email a necessary evil. What do you mean by that?
Well, so my job, so I'm a futurist, and my job is to sort of think through the implications, the coming implications of emerging technology. And, we're in a transition period with regards to a lot of different technologies. Mm-hmm. So, there are apps that exist now. There's Signal. There are other ways to send content. There's even a supposedly encrypted email system called ProtonMail. But the reality is that, the vast majority of people don't think about security and don't demand encryption until they've personally had cause to, because they've suffered a breach. So, I hate email. I hate looking at my inbox, and I've done everything I can internally at my company to get off of email. But the fact is, we still have to, send my dad pictures of my kid. and I have to like talk to our accountants. And so, for the moment, we're shackled to this system. So the best that we could possibly hope for is that everybody develops a better sense of street smarts, digital street smarts in the near term.
Street smarts. You know, that what has struck me about the Donald Trump Jr. affair is how many people are saying, oh, you fool. You said something that you believed and you got caught because it's not private enough. I mean, is the point, is the idea to become more and more secretive as a society?
Well, you know, the thing that really I found so fascinating about the whole incident is that, you know, here are a group of people who are younger, right, and we would ascribe to them certain digital street smarts, right?
Mm-hmm.
And somehow not only did it apparently not occur to them not to put that type of information into a written form, right, that's archived, but also once you forward a message, like the whole string goes with it.
Yeah, how about that?
You know, and so again, to me, you know, it's a separate conversation for another day about our current administration's understanding of technology. But it's a good reminder that, you know, regardless of your age, you know, everyday people struggle with how information moves around. And that was just the text that we saw. There's hidden information in that message too, like the metadata showing where the, you know, how the message moved around and when it was sent and on what type of machine. There's a lot more that went with that message than just the text that we all saw.
Farhad Manjoo from the New York Times, a tech columnist there, feels like almost all of us use email. Is there going to be a future technology that we're virtually all going to use that's different?
No, I think what will happen is sort of what happens every time you get a new technology, which is we still use the old thing and we use the new thing also. I agree with Amy. The reason that we all use email is because sort of everyone else uses email. It's like this universal way of getting at essentially anybody.
Yep.
And it's also, you know, the kind of accepted social way. So if I send you an email out of the blue asking you something, it's not considered rude, for example.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I think we're seeing sort of some parts of email being disrupted by other tools. So, you know, one of the more successful startups recently is called Slack, and it's an interoffice chat system.
Yeah, we use it here in our newsroom.
Yeah, and we use it at the New York Times. And I've noticed that, you know, while not everyone is using it, probably, you know, some significant percentage of communication that used to happen over email is now happening over Slack. So email is sort of, there's a reduced burden on email.
But is Slack private? Is what I write on Slack, will that come back to me?
It could come back to you. I mean, Slack, like email, is legally discoverable. So okay. If you're in a lawsuit.
All right. Amy, I heard you wanting to talk too.
Go ahead. Yeah, Farhad, you finish up and then I've got a funny story to share.
Okay.
I was just going to say, so I think, you know, one of the things that may end up happening is that some parts of what we use email for now, like I no longer look at email for my my itineraries, because like they show up in the United app that I use. So like those kinds of things, you know, may move to apps, may move to, you know, different kinds of services. And so I think the reliance on email may just go down over time.
Amy, we have a minute and a half left here at the end of the show for a story about Slack or whatever you want to tell.
Sure. So we, you know, like many companies, we only use Slack internally. We don't email at all. The government attempted to do that as well. And one of the things that folks discovered pretty early on was that if you had, you know, it became not difficult to see all of the State Department Slack channels. And I think that, again, what this points to is we all have this, and it is a funny story, maybe not funny, ha-ha, but it's,
mm-hmm.
You know, I think what this points to is humans, technology moves fast, but we humans don't typically move fast to catch up with it. And so, you know, Slack is now a verb, but email has been a verb for a really long time. And until you have a critical mass of people, you know, it sort of at this point doesn't matter what platform you use. Everybody understands the basic gist of an email. Until we have a critical mass of people who feel comfortable messaging in a different way that can also send attachments and it's not complicated and it fulfills all of the same needs and desires and requirements that we have for email, in effect, until we have another verb, right? I think we're stuck with email, unfortunately, for the foreseeable future. And I believe that state has gone back to using more email and less Slack.
Amy Webb, founder of the Future Today Institute and author of The Signals Are Talking, Why Today's Fringe is Tomorrow's Mainstream. And Farhad Manju is tech columnist for The New York Times. So great to talk to both of you. Thank you for this.
Thanks.
Yeah, thank you.
We just over the telephone. We'd like to hear from you on this, KOW listener. Are you living in a post-email world or just dreaming about it? From Twitter, I see that SB Hopper tweets to us, email, still great for transactional data, count to 100 before sending. Thank you. Good advice on Twitter at KOW. Let us know what you're doing instead of email if you've got a better idea. Go to KOW's Facebook page or leave us a voicemail, 221-3663.